The scripture this morning that Judd has chosen is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and I will be reading from the New International Version. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not you or anyone else, even though as an apostle of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we were preaching the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we were dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I noted that mothers and fathers were mentioned as a similarity here, and Judd, I'm interested in what you have to say about that.
Well, thank you, David. I'm not sure whether I can answer all your questions, but I'll give it a shot. I want to start with a simple story about a man named Bill. Bill was born in the 30s. He was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and the doctor predicted that he would be mentally retarded. That's the word they used in those days. We call it physically challenged now, or mentally challenged. Well, he urged Bill's parents to have him institutionalized. Fortunately, they ignored the doctor's advice. At first, Bill attended a school for children with disabilities, and later, he gained an entrance to a mainstream high school. This was an unusual accomplishment for a physically challenged person of that era. Then, with the help of a counselor, Bill began looking for a career, and this effort resulted in little more than a series of humiliations. A job as a pharmaceutical store clerk lasted less than a day because Bill's trembling hands would not allow him to stock the shelves neatly. A job as a Goodwill Industries cashier lasted 3 days because Bill's palsied fingers kept hitting the wrong key. His physical limitations also brought a job at the Salvation Army docks to a prompt end, and his slurred speech soon lost him his job answering phones at the Veterans Rehabilitation Center. After 5 months of one humiliation after another, the counselor told Bill he was unemployable, and he suggested that Bill stay home and collect disability. Another person in Bill's position may have taken this advice to heart, but Bill knew deep down inside that he could be a productive member of society. Even if he couldn't tie his own shoes without difficulty or button his own shirt cuffs after a considerable amount of time spent. Having exhausted his patience with state counselors, Bill began combing the want ads himself. Naturally, this met with more rejections. Most times, he didn't even get past the initial phone call. And then one day, Bill landed an interview with a company called Watkins Products, that sold the products door-to-door. "I know I can do this job," Bill confidently told the interviewer. Don't forget, we're talking about an event that happened in 1961. That was 3 years before I was born. decades before disability laws, when tolerance for people who were different at very low. Bill got his break, but prejudice being what it was, the sales manager assigned Bill to the worst, most hopeless territory in Portland, where people lived in dire poverty and the houses were falling down. And the poor man was working on commission, but he had a job. And he packed his briefcase with brochures, hit the street at 9 a.m., and hasn't looked back since. Eventually, Bill Porter went on to become one of the top salesmen in the history of Watkins Products, their top salesman ever in the Northwest. ABC's 2020 told Bill's story to the nation on Christmas Eve 1995, and it was later dramatized in an HBO movie starring William H. Macy. Bill Porter's perseverance and positive thinking have had an impact on many people. As one of his many fans wrote, "I once read that the quality of one's life is not measured by the things one acquires, but by the lives one touches." And Bill Porter has touched many lives. Bill Porter's story inspires us, but it also reminds us that life is tough. And I had a brother that was similar to that, my brother John, and I've talked to you many times about John, who wasn't born blind, but became blind at the age of 8. And how, with the help of a businessman here in town named Norman Carlin, he was able to live a life that was productive and lived his Christian life and his faith here in this church as well until he passed and went in at the age of 41. Sooner or later, however, you and I will have our challenges as well. We'll have frailty, sickness, the loss of someone we love, perhaps, a failure in business, and the list could go on. Life is tough at times. There are challenges with our health, in our homes, on our job. St. Paul knew that life can be challenging. He was no religious guru holed up in a hole somewhere, away from the problems of the world. He was out there facing opposition every day of his adult life. And you think you have a hard job. Has it ever left you physically beaten up by mobs? Thrown in flea-infested prisons? Shipwrecked far from home? Matt, have you ever been in that situation for preaching the gospel? I haven't either. I've been pretty blessed in that respect. In Acts 16, 22, 24, we read that Paul and Silas were beaten, flogged, and dragged through a public humiliation, locked in stocks, put in prison for preaching the gospel in Philippi. In Thessalonica, an angry mob forced them to make an early exit from the city. There's evidence that Paul may have had a physical condition as well, perhaps epilepsy. We don't know for sure. He refers to it simply as his thorn in the flesh. Paul knew about everyday frustrations and heartaches. He begins the second chapter of his letter to the church in Thessalonica like this. "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure." Now, what's your immediate conclusion when you read a sentence like that? "You know that our visit to you was not a failure." Well, apparently, someone thought that Paul was a failure. And obviously, their judgment bothers St. Paul somewhat, anyway. And even worse, after he left Thessalonica, it is clear that someone had started rumors questioning his motives in preaching the gospel in the first place. Perhaps that he was just in it for the money. Well, this may have hurt Paul more than the floggings to give his all for the gospel, to take nothing in return in order to be able to preach without being a burden to the young churches that he was starting, to have given so much of himself and then to have someone start malicious rumors that he was in it for his own gain. That surely hurt Paul most of all. But Paul was an amazing man, and he had a faith of great maturity and depth. St. Paul never gave up on God. I have a feeling that few pastors or lay people will be able to deal with the kind of adversity that Paul dealt with. But I think there are some. There are some pastors who have been very blessed in their ministries, and like many lay people, they interpret the fact that everything is going so smoothly that people are flocking in to hear them and the offering plates are full. They interpret these things to mean that God is approving their ministries. Well, where does that leave someone like Paul, who is suffering simply and solely because he is doing God's work? So let's not misinterpret life's up and downs. Just because things are going your way doesn't mean that you are in God's favor necessarily. And because your life has been hard doesn't mean God has forgotten you either. St. Paul never gave up on God, even though he suffered many hardships, and neither should we. Listen to these words of Scripture. They were intended to comfort us when life gets tough, and they were written by Paul's own hand. Philippians 4, verse 19. God will supply all of our needs through his glorious riches. And Romans 8, 28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Don't let your current circumstances color your perception of God's favor upon your work or your life. God works in ways that surpass all understanding. And St. Paul never quit serving people. Listen to his words to the church at Thessalonica. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. No matter how much opposition St. Paul encountered, no matter how much criticism, how many beatings or shipwrecks or insults, he never took off his eyes off his calling to bring people to Jesus Christ. And the reason that he was so effective was not only his love for God, but also his love for the people God had called him to serve. Friends, here is the secret to dealing with life when it gets tough. Take the focus off your problems and place them on Christ and on those around you. If you keep your eyes focused on your problems, all you're going to do is wallow in self-pity. You will be a burden to yourself and everyone around you. But if you focus on Christ and on the people around you, then there is hope that you will find real meaning in life. Alice Gray tells about a man who was in a terrible accident. In a matter of seconds, this man's world was turned upside down, and the accident resulted in the loss of both of his legs and one arm. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, the man resolved to look for ways to encourage other hurting people. He began writing letters to a local prison. Each letter was full of hope and faith, all the hope and faith that this man could muster. Yet he never knew if anyone was even reading the letters, because this prison's policy did not allow prisoners to write back. Occasionally, he was tempted to stop writing. What good was it really doing? But one day, this man received a letter from the guard who censored this prisoner's mail, and here's what the guard wrote. Please write on the best paper you can afford. Your letters are passed from cell to cell till they literally fall to pieces. This man's letters were appreciated by the prisoners. He was helping. But the person he ended up helping most of all was himself. It has been said that tough times can make us bitter, or they can make us better. As a congregation, we are small in numbers. Often we feel stretched beyond our comfort level at times. We wear many hats. I've been a part of this fellowship of believers for nearly 60 years. In the last 27 years, I occasionally stood behind this pulpit, sometimes with trembling knees, because I am a very flawed man. There are many of you out there that are a lot better persons than I am. but I considered a tremendous responsibility to preach the gospel. And I ask nothing for in return. As long as you will have me, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I believe God still has plans for Community Church of the Brethren. So let's not give up on God. Let's not give up on serving others. Let's not give up on doing what God would have us do. What would Paul do? And like the wristband, what would Jesus do? And if you can't bring yourself to that level, perhaps you should ask what Bill Porter would do, or John Hornbaker would do. Never give up on believing that you can make a difference. We all have our heroes and our inspiration. Ultimately, though, our faith must lie in the one who said, "I am." I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.